you, Brother Brian. God has been so good to all of us, hasn't he? And he needs the glory. So let's just give him a glory this morning. One, two, three, glory. Amen. Boy, I'm glad you're here, and all of our friends in the internet, we're glad that you're part of the services today. Open your Bibles, please, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to begin our reading there. Just read one verse there. Actually, I may go ahead and read a few other verses to kind of set the stage for you. If you were here in the watch night service, I introduced to you what I felt like God had burdened my heart for a theme for this coming year. And it's here in chapter 3, verse number 9. I'll read that in just a moment. And then, of course, on last Sunday, the first Sunday of the new year, we had the reading of the Revelation. And thank you, men, again. What a wonderful job everyone did. And God, the Holy Ghost blessed. And I'm thankful for it. I thank God for the wonderful singing. We're blessed. I've got a lot of comments through the week, and God used that for His glory. I want to this morning, for the first Sunday actually preaching, I want to kind of set the stage. I feel like God would have me to for this coming year for our ministry. I mentioned in the watch night service that through all of this year of COVID, I've not seen house construction or any other kind of construction slow at all. If anything, it's escalated right in the peak of the COVID season. Everywhere you went, somebody was either laying a foundation or putting on vinyl siding or put shingles on a roof, and they're probably doing it still today right now. And the building of the physical houses in Johnson County and neighboring counties has not slowed whatsoever. And the Bible said of the Lord, He said to Peter, "Thou art Simon, upon this rock I will build my church." I don't think He's quit building the church. Do you believe that? Say amen. Amen. He's still building. Now, He chooses to use men and women, boys and girls, in that. And so what He's doing, we need to be a part of. That's my burden. Let me begin this chapter, though. I want to begin 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I do want to begin with verse number 1. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. For I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye are not able to, neither were ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" And I could spend a long time dealing with that. But here's the emphasis. Paul is basing some of that statement on what he's about to say. "For while one saith, I am of Paul," that means Paul led me to the Lord, or I have trusted Christ and I follow Paul's ministry and teaching, "and another, I'm of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I've planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." Verse number 9, here's our text for the coming year. "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." Now, the word husbandry has to do with a vineyard. And then the building, of course, you understand what that is. And he said, the body of Christ is kind of like a vineyard, and it's kind of like a building. And he said, there are a lot of people involved in the tending of either one of those. There are a lot of steps to the process of building a building, a lot of steps in preparation and getting ready. The pistol could tell you all about those type of things, about pruning and fertilizing and getting ready to have a grape harvest, and then the harvest and all of those things. All of that's a part of it. And he said, we are all together, working together. And he says, we are laborers together. And God burdened my heart back in December that our theme this year should be that we are laborers together, here's the key, with God. We laboring together with God. with the Lord. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God, God would give me your anointing and your power. And Father, I pray God the Holy Spirit would breathe in this place this morning. God, I pray that you'd awaken all of us to our responsibilities in these days as Christians. Lord, to be faithful to you and do those things that would honor you. And Lord, I thank you again for the wonderful singing this morning of Chuck and Love Brian and Brother Roland leading the singing, Juanita playing. Lord, it's just blessed my heart to hear and to be a part of the services this morning thus far. And God, I want to be a good servant. God, all these years you let me preach and pastor. But God, I pray, Father, that now in 2021 will be the greatest year ever of ministry. I pray, God, that you'd help us, our fathers, we minister one to another. And God, as we minister to the community and to the lost people, help us to be faithful to you, and we'll give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You say, Brother Billy, that's an unusual thought to start for the whole year, labors together with Christ. Most people don't like labor. They don't like work. That's why you see so many now hiring signs all over the county. But people who are saved, we serve in a different way. The Bible says, for you're saved by grace through faith, and that not yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works. We don't work to be saved. But he said, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You see, we don't work to be saved, but we work because we are saved. We are workmen. Now, the question is, what kind of workman are you? There are some people that have a staff of people working for them. And over a period of time, perhaps they've weeded out. They've got where they've got a consistent number of people that are faithful and good. But in the back of their mind, if you talk with them, they wouldn't want the employees to know it. But there are certain ones they know they can count on. There are some who will work early if they need to work early. They'll stay late if they need to stay. And they work that job just exactly like it was their own business. They're not interested in just being there to collect a check. They're interested for the product or whatever they're doing and for the satisfaction of their customers and all that. And when you're right with God, it's not really a work. It is labor. It is serving. It is ministry. But it is our life. We are, A-R-E, are laborers. What are you? I'm a brick mason. I'm a roofer. I'm a salesman. I'm a this, I'm a that. But if what it means is that's what I do, but I am that. And you are laborers together already in the Lord. Because Paul said of that church, he said, you've turned from idols to serve the true and the living God. Now, that's the path of every true believer. You've been serving the flesh, you've been serving the world, you've been serving the devil. But when you get saved, you start serving the Lord. And there's so many facets of it. Now, Wednesday night, I talked about laboring together in prayer. And our prayers to be, first of all, for all the saints of God. And it's a labor, serving the Lord, to pray for all the saints and to pray for one another and bathe them in prayer and keep them in your prayers. And my, we've got so many people to pray for. I didn't list all of them. Brother Kerry Coates and his family, and then so many others. And Brother James, we've been praying for him, and Jimmy and Betty Joe, and so many. And then so many of our shut-ins. You've got a lot to do. If you just prayed faithfully every day, as the Word of God says. But in last week, when we read the book of Revelation, as I had this theme in my heart, I read and then the other guys read, and I was listening, but I think about my part that I read. And here's what I noticed. In Revelation chapter 2, he begins addressing seven churches in Asia. Now, they were actual churches, just like Benson Grove's a church and Johnson Memorial's a church. They were actual churches in those particular places. And he was addressing certain message to each one of them. And so when you study the book of Revelation, you understand that those were actual churches and that the whole book of Revelation was to be read in those areas. Sometimes we get Christmas cards. We got a lot of Christmas cards. Thank you so much. Some of the Christmas cards had just very sweet notes, some of them signatures, but all of them were very special to us. But then some of them would say, Brother Billy, something to me. And then they'd say, Miss Regina. In other words, in one card, one letter, they were addressing both of us, and they had a personal word for each one of us. Well, that's what the book of Revelation was about. It was addressed to a church, and there were personal messages for that one church, but also a message for other churches. And so when you study Revelation, those seven churches were real churches. And this, the book that we read last Sunday, the context of that was read in those actual churches. That ought to give you Holy Ghost bumps to remember, realize that people in home churches or whatever in those cities back those many, many years ago read what you've just read last Sunday. What a blessing. And then if you study it a little deeper, you understand that those seven churches picture for us the course of what we call the church age. They were a picture of certain periods of time in the church age. We are now living, and some of them overlap and run together. You and I are living in now what's called this age that we're living in. I believe we are living in the Philadelphian and the Laodicean church age. And that is that those last two churches, we're all involved in that. And when you study it and go out in some detail, you'll understand that prophetically it lays out all of history. We're in that time right now. So if you want to know where you're living at, go back and read in Revelation and read about the church at Laodicea in Philadelphia, and that's where you're living. But now, also, all those churches and the messages to those individual churches and the panoramic view of all of church history, from each one of those churches, we can draw a lesson. And think about it. Here we are, 2021. Last Sunday, we read that same message. And the Bible says this, at the end of each one of those addresses, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Now, here's what he's saying. He was not only saying to those local churches and to other churches in days to come, but in 2021, he was saying to me and you, you better listen to what this book is saying. Listen to what this prophet is saying. Now, what did he say? Here's what I've noted as I went back and studied this week. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2, he is addressing the first church, which is the church at Ephesus. And here's what he said, I know thy works and thy labor. In chapter 2, verse 9, he addresses the church at Smyrna. And he says this, I know thy works. In chapter 2 and verse 3, he says to Pergamos, I know thy works. In Thyatira, he said, I know thy works and thy charity and service and faith. In chapter 3 and verse 1, he addresses Sardis and he says, I know thy works. In chapter 3 and verse 8, he says to Philadelphia, I know thy works. And to the church in Laodicea, chapter 3, verse 15, he says, I know that thou art neither cold nor hot, but lukewarm. He knows us. He knows what we're doing. He knows our labor. And I noticed that he noted that. I'm glad I'm saved by grace. If you're saved by grace, say amen. You didn't work to get saved. God the Holy Ghost dealt with you. And if you listen to Brother Barry's Sunday School lesson last Sunday and this Sunday, you're getting a wonderful foundation and a great doctrinal lesson on the idea that we are totally depraved and God gave His Son to die to redeem us, and the only hope of heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody goes to heaven by joining a church and being baptized, but by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But He says in these last days of those of us who are saved, I know your works. I know your labor. And a red flag went up. You know what it says to me? He's watching to see what we're doing. He'd like to know what we did in 2020. Did we get in a holy huddle somewhere and lay our armor down, lay our sword down, and quit trying to reach people for Christ? Did we just get so depressed and burdened and fearful that the devil robbed us of our opportunities and our desire to reach out and reach folk for Christ? Did we use these times where people are fearful and afraid to say, I want you to know that there's a peace of God that passeth all understanding? And regardless of what you're going through, there's somebody who will never leave you nor forsake you, and somebody who can make you more than a conqueror. Did we use this past year for that? Or did we cower down as a bunch of weak, beat down, depressed people, and we didn't have the joy of the Lord in our heart? He said in the book of Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And when people see you, they ought to know that you've got that joy, not artificial, but real. And what happens is we lose our focus of who we are and what we are in Christ and who God is and how great God is. And I pray that's not been the case. And I know many of you, that's not been the case. But what about this coming year? God burdened my heart, and here's what He said. Don't back up. Don't settle for not doing anything. There's work to be done, and I'll show you how to do it. God's got a plan. God has a plan, and I know that He's in charge. Why? Why am I to be a laborer? Why are you to be a laborer? Let me give them to you just really, really quickly. Got five things this morning, and let me remind you of this. You and I are saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast, but we are His workmanship, creating Christ Jesus unto good works. God has a work for me and you to do. And there are many, I'm going to deal with it through the course of this year about the areas of ministry. There are people whose work nobody ever sees, but it's absolutely fundamental. And when the guy comes in and digs the footer of a house and gets it just exactly the right depth, puts the steel in there, whatever they might do now, and pour the footer, and it's covered over and the house is built, everybody sees the roof and the shutters, but the only thing holding it up is that foundation, and nobody sees that. But my dear friend, whatever you're doing, if you're serving God, it may be you're praying, maybe it's you're writing letters, maybe it's you're witnessing. And our work, our labor for the Lord is to be a daily thing, and it is include not just witnessing to lost people, but ministering to the people of God. He said to Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. It's imperative that you and I minister to one another. We're to minister to one another in psalms and hymns, a spiritual song. We're to pray for one another, love one another, forgive one another, all those things. And so we're to be serving God. Don't lose your focus about ministry and serving God. And here's why. First of all, let me give you this just real quick. And there are five things, and I'll mention them, not spend a lot of time on them, but just mention them. First of all, because the fields are white under harvest. You say, Brother Billy, these are dark days. But back in the Gospel of John in chapter number 4, our Lord gives another one of those wonderful lessons about this matter of service and harvest. And in chapter 4, in verse number 34, He makes this statement. He says to His disciples, for them, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already in the harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both they that sow and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I send you to reap that whereon you have bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. He says to them, the fields are white under harvest. People said, I don't see any, you know, there's no way to minister. But people are still lost. Sadly, every day, I was listening to Good Morning Leon. We broadcast live over this station. We're live on the radio right now. And on one of the programs during the week, when they come into the end of the tradio, they do the obituaries. And the announcer that particular day says, we've got a page after page after page of them. So very many. So many people are dying of COVID and everything else. And everybody that dies either goes to heaven or hell. That ought to touch us somehow or another. It ought to make us aware of the fact of eternity, that nobody here is here to stay. Everybody's here just passing through. And you and I need that responsibility to understand that the fields are white in the harvest. There's plenty of lost people, plenty of opportunities to minister to them. He said in chapter number 9 of the book of Matthew, verse 37, he said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The harvest is plenteous. It's white. It's there are people out there that are right ready. And there are people that could get saved. And there are people that need help. And there are Christians who need encouraging. And you and I, there's so many of them. And there's just multitudes of them. There's no end to the prospects of people that you could touch and influence for the cause of Christ. And then in regard to the harvest, I'd say this to you. We need to be laborers because of the worth of a soul. If we labored this year and one person got saved, the Lord said, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? If he had the whole world, it wouldn't make any difference. My dear friend, one soul is worth more than the whole world. The Lord Jesus Christ died to save everybody, but every little boy in here and every little girl, every man, every woman, every senior citizen, every young adult, everyone precious in His sight. He loved you and He died for you as an individual. And He said He's not willing that any should perish. When He wanted to give a parable to challenge people about the importance of the souls of men, He talked about one lost coin, one lost sheep, and one lost son. One. It's the power of one. He loves you as much as He loved the Father, as much as the Father loved Him, He loves you. He gave His life to die for you. You're precious. And every person in His precious. The thing is, our value doesn't go down when we get saved, it goes up. And so the saints of God are precious. And we need to love them and minister them, encourage them. Like brother said a while ago, Brother Gary, the devil is working. He's working on people. We need to encourage people. I'm talking about every person from the most spiritual person to the newest Christian. Every one of them needs somebody to labor and minister with them and pray with them and encourage them. And then the lost world needs somebody to win them to Christ. Second reason I need to labor and you need to labor is this. The laborers are few. Everywhere you go now, you see the sign, now hiring. Everybody needs laborers. They need somebody to work, somebody to help. And I when I think about that, we are laborers together with God. What an awesome privilege to serve with the Lord. I mean, to be able to work with Him. People who are in the business world, there are certain groups, and whether it's in real estate or banking or whatever, if they could ever get aligned with that group, well, they've kind of arrived. But listen to this. Your laborers together with God. Well, that's a pretty big deal. Who are you working for? I'm serving for the Lord. I'm serving with the Lord. But the laborers are few. They're few. There are not many people that are willing to minister to people, to love people. Everybody's preoccupied with their own life. But you have responsibilities, take care of your family. I know that. You have to take care of a job. The Bible says if you don't provide for your family, you're worse than an infidel. But in all of that, you're to give thanks and serve as unto the Lord and be a witness at work and to everybody around you. Look for every opportunity you can to minister to somebody. I think we need to be laborers because of the whiteness of the field, because of the few laborers that are available. And then in verse number 4 of chapter 9 of John, the Lord Jesus Christ makes this statement, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. How many of you know we're getting close to night? We're not heading to light, we're heading to darkness. This world's getting darker and darker and darker. And the Bible said the night comes when no man can work. Did you know you might be in the last generation of Christians to reach lost men and women, boys and girls, to minister to one another? The time is short. You and I need to be busy. God has chosen you and chosen me to be here. I've often illustrated it this way. I've watched some of the Olympics and I watch the relay races, and there'll be 4, 5, 6 people in a relay team. And when the gun fires, one of their very best runners takes off first. They want him to get a lead. And then the other runners that follow are good runners, but they're maybe not quite as good as he is, but if they can just maintain his lead, that's great. And then the last runner is most of the time one of the very best they've got, because he's got to extend that lead or either make up for where the other ones lacked. And so the very beginning, you have the best. At the very end, you've got the best. Now, you may not know this, but God looks at you and He said, this is the best bunch of Christians I've got. And I've chosen you to live in this last day. God put you in a wonderful position. I believe you've got the baton in your hand. We're heading toward the finish line. And I want to be faithful. My dear friend, you are God's chosen spokesman for this age. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, God put you here in this time frame. And I look around and so many of my friends, and they're great people, I see them that they're going home to be with the Lord. But God let you be here and He let me be here because He wants us to finish the race. But then I say to you in the fourth place this morning, I need to be a laborer because of the admonition of the Lord. He loved me and gave Himself for me. And He said this in that Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. He said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that He send forth laborers. God admonished me to pray for laborers and you to pray for laborers. And then an unusual thing happened in that chapter 10. That's the last few verses of chapter 9. And in chapter 10, He sent the disciples out two by two. He said, you pray for workers and then you go. And so you and I are to pray for workers, but not for them to go in our place, but to go labor with us. You and I are to pray because of the admonition of the Lord to pray. But then in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, we have what's called the Great Commission. And He said, go into all nations, teach the gospel, preach the gospel, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That hadn't changed. That's us. Here we are at the end of the race, and it is still our commission to go into all nations and preach the gospel, teach the gospel, and then to baptize them, and then to teach them. That's all part of the building. We're building this thing. We're finishing it out. We are finished the building, and God chose you to do that. My dear friend, He admonishes us to do it. You and I need. I have seen riding through the country occasionally some very sad things. I have occasion, you may have too, where somebody began to build a house and it looked like it was almost completed and there's grass growing up all around it. I've often wondered what happened. Did the person who was building it, did they die? Did something happen in the family, in the marriage that caused them not to be able to finish? Did they not plan adequately? Did they not have enough money to finish it? And so it stood uncompleted. But now that's not going to happen with the church because we're laborers together with Him. It's our privilege to work with Him. But if we don't, there's somebody else. He said to Esther, he said, Mordecai did, who knows but what thou come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And know this assuredly that redemption and God will deliver Israel, but it's maybe you that He wants to use. My dear friend, His church will be finished, but I want to be a part of that, don't you? I want to be a part of that. I want to be serving Him, loving Him, and witnessing it where I can and minister to God's people where I can. And then the last thing, if you have your Bible open to 1 Corinthians where you were, could you turn over just a little bit further to chapter 15? I'll do this and I'll be through. You and I are to be laborers for Christ, laborers with Christ. Because of the harvest, the fields are white in the harvest. Because the laborers are few. Because the night is coming. Because of the admonition of our Lord. But then I believe because of the challenge of the Apostle Paul. In chapter 15, I want you to look at verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren. Now, what's that therefore about? If you see a therefore, you want to go back and see what's there for. He just got through telling them about the resurrection. He's telling about your loved ones who died and in the grave. God's going to bring them out. That was sown in weakness, it'll be raised in power. Sown in corruption, be raised in incorruption. Sown a mortal body, be raised in immortality. Oh, listen, that's a wonderful thing to think about our loved ones. And then he goes on and said, but we'll be changed as well. We're going to all be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And what he said is this, be encouraged. The resurrection is going to happen, the transformation of believer, and Jesus is coming again. He said, therefore, because of the resurrection, because of the transformation of the saints and to meet them in the clouds, and because Jesus Christ Himself is coming, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, watch this last one, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We're serving with the Lord. You say, Brother Billy, this is an office generation. Nobody's listening. I want to tell you what Paul said. Paul said, you be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He's promised success in 2021. I don't care if it's COVID-1, COVID-2, or COVID-5 before it's over with. God's promised success for those who will love Him, be steadfast and immovable, and keep on serving Jesus, always abounding in the work of the Lord. God will bless it. I want to keep faithful because God said, I will bless it. You'll reap a harvest if you faint not. My challenge is to us this morning, God's challenge is to my heart and your heart, is to be more faithful than we've ever been. Love God's people more. Pray for them more earnestly. Encourage them. Minister to them every time you get a chance. Be aware of people around you that is lost. Witness, share Christ. Give the gospel tracts. Give CDs. Do anything you can. And we're doing so many things, but we want to do more to reach folk for Christ. Amen. I'm sure glad God sent many of you here, even in the pandemic, to be part of this ministry. We're laborers together with the Lord. Let's serve Him. Amen. Will you bow your heads in prayer for just a few moments? Brother Roland's going to come and he'll sing a verse of a song if God leads him to. But I just felt impressed with the Lord to share this with you the very first Sunday that I got to preach in the new year. This is our theme for the whole year. We are saved by grace through faith, that not ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. God has created us, fitted us. He's given you a gift. He's given you a talent. There's something you can do, some way you can serve God. You need to present your body a living sacrifice and let Him use you. Be excited every day about being able to be a blessing to some saint, being a blessing to a lost person, to share Christ, to share His victory, share His power, share the message of the gospel, to love one another, pray one for another, and see people saved. That's our conscious effort this year, is to be serving Him and reaching folk for Christ. Will you be a part? Now hiring. I see it everywhere. I've been thinking about a message. Did you know McDonald's giving a signing bonus? If you'll sign up with them, they'll pay you just to sign up. You don't have to work an hour. They're going to give you money right off the bat. When you got saved by the grace of God, He gave you an inheritance incorruptible that fadeth not away. I mean, when you got part of His family and you became a laborer, you born by grace and created into good works. Oh, He's already given you heaven. Thank God. He's already promised to meet every need you've ever got. I mean, what a package He's given you. What a retirement package is already yours. You don't have to wait 5 years, 10 years to get vested. When you trusted Christ, you were vested for eternity. Hallelujah. Glory. My dear friend, if you don't ever pray a prayer, if you don't ever witness to anybody, oh, think about what you're going to have on the other side. I thought about adding one more point. I'll just mention it. I wonder what it'll be like to stand before Him. There's an old hymn we used to sing. Must I go an empty-handed, not one soul to bring? Oh, listen, I want to, because He saved me, I want to be faithful to Him. And I sure would like for it to be a few folk in heaven that are there because I was a faithful laborer. I want some dear saint of God who is about ready to quit and throw in the towel to be encouraged and blessed because I loved them and prayed for them, encouraged them and stood with them. Some who failed and sinned and fallen, I want to be a restorer. I want to pray for them and restore such a one. I want them to know that sin is not final. God is final judge and God will forgive you and cleanse you and restore you if you'll be faithful. Just turn to Him. Oh, listen, my dear friend, there's much to be done. I'm not going to ask you to move around a lot this morning, but I want you right where you are to make a commitment to Christ. If you're here and you've been praying about a church home, we'd invite you to come. If you're lost, we'd invite you to come. If you're here in a saint of God, you need somebody to pray with you, if you'll come. This whole church will pray with you as you kneel around the altar. Let's stand together with our heads bowed. Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God, oh, God, would make it real to me. And Lord, You know my heart. I don't want to be a hearer of the word and not a doer. I don't want to be a preacher of the word and not do it. God, help my life to count. I pray, God, that I can be a laborer with you. And God, you love your church. I want to love your church. You love every boy and girl, every man and woman. I want to love them. I want to minister to them. I want the Holy Ghost of God to use me to be a blessing to the church. And God, you died for the whole world. And God, help me to have a burden for men and women, boys and girls. Makes no difference whether they're red or yellow, black or white. They're precious in your sight. God, help me to understand the value of every soul, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every race, every nationality. They all need Christ. Oh, God, give me a fresh burden of zeal for this coming year. God, I want to be a laborer with you. And God, I pray, God, that if you come this year, you'll find us faithful. I pray, God, you'll not find us lukewarm, but you'd find out of that lukewarm church at Laodicea some hearts that are ablaze with fire, loving you and serving you. And God, I pray that you'd bless us now. God, help people to make a commitment to you, to be faithful to you. While we're praying, Brother Roland will sing, and you remain with your heads bowed. If you need to come around this altar, I invite you to come this morning. God moves on your heart for anything. If we can help you, we'll do it. We'll not have a long invitation, but you come right now. If God leads you, you come on right now.